I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we're here for another rousing episode. First thing I'd like to do is take a look around the news of the world and see what's going on, especially the things that are happening in our country that really have great portend for the future. You know, some of the things we're looking at is some constitutional issues that are going to come up based on the COVID-19 lockdown that has taken place all across our country. Now, obviously, we've seen it in other countries around the world, but here in America, we are governed by the rights that we have in our Constitution, which preserves our rights and protects our rights. And we're seeing an attack on those rights in many states. Now, many of the states that are attacking us, of course, are the blue states. You know, the Democrat state governors are staying closed. They're restricting people's movement. They're extending this lockdown over and over and over again. And it doesn't really match with the statistics that are out there. We see red states are much more apt to open and allow people to have their freedom back. So we're talking about that as we move forward. We have to get into that. There's a big happening in New Jersey recently, here in my own home state, where we had a young man who owns a gym. Now, Belmar, New Jersey, if some of you have heard of the Great Jersey Shore, Belmar is on the Jersey Shore near Asbury Park, a beautiful place where people go to the beach, and it's wonderful. In the town of Belmar, M-A-W-R, Belmar, is in southern New Jersey, near Philadelphia. And that's where the Attilis Gym is. It's, you know, it's a gym. You go to work out, pump iron, run cardio, do all that kind of stuff. Well, the owner, Ian Smith, has been shut down for almost 3 months now, in March, when everybody shut down here in New Jersey. And he did the right thing. He said, listen, they want us to shut down for 2 weeks. We'll shut down for 2 weeks, and we'll see if we can help flatten the curve. We'll do the right thing, like many people did. Myself included. We're going to shut down. We'll flatten this curve. We'll see if we can fight this virus, because at the beginning, they were telling us millions of people were going to die from this in our country alone. Millions were going to die. Pretty scary stuff. We shut down our schools. We shut down our businesses. We closed basically the world, and we started wearing masks. Everybody's staying in. We're seeing disruptions to our food chain. We're seeing our economy taking a beating, and we've been talking about this for weeks now, all of us. But Mr. Ian Smith, owner of this gym, basically took it on himself to say, you know what? It's been almost 3 months. I've had enough. I can't feed my family anymore. I'm opening my gym. I feel that it's safe. If you don't think it's safe, don't come to the gym, is basically what he's saying. If you're afraid, as I know many people, probably a lot of people who are listening to us here in Chasing Justice, are scared to death to come out of their houses. Well, there's a simple solution. You're scared, stay in. Live on your resources. Live on whatever you can get from the government. The rest of the world, myself included, want to get back to the world. You know, we talk about the chances we have to take sometimes. And sometimes, every time you go to work, you take a chance. You get hit by a Greyhound bus, you know, going to work. You could have a car accident. You could have an industrial accident. There could be a robbery, and you could kill. A lot of things that could kill you. Okay? So some of us, lots of us, have decided that it's enough now. It's time to start moving on. And Mr. Ian Smith did exactly that. He basically announced on social media, and I guess to his customer list, that, hey, as of a particular date here, I'm opening my gym back up. And he opened the gym up. Lots and lots of people came to support him, carrying signs and banners. You know, it's time to open up. Some people had masks on. Some did not. All right, Mr. Smith, the owner of the gym, he was wearing a mask. You know, I guess he figures that's easy precaution. You know, that's one of the things I guess we could all do for a little while is wear the mask. If that's going to help, then we should do it, you know, because we don't want to bring anything home to anybody, and we don't want to catch it from anybody we're out, because it's still out there. There's no doubt about it. The virus is still out there. But what we're seeing more and more is that the number of deaths has probably been overstated. They're attributing deaths to COVID-19 that could be just about anything else. And if the person was found to have any of the symptoms, well, I even saw one. This woman came on. She was a health official from some state, and I wish I knew the name of it, but I don't. I can't remember it. But I watched her, and she said, well, here's the deal. If somebody has terminal cancer and they're on hospice, and they have very short time left to live, and they expire, and it turns out that the person had COVID, then they're listing it as a COVID death, even if COVID was not the cause of death. All right, so this is going to, now you're going to take how many thousands or more people that died of things that would have killed them anyway, and now they're calling it a COVID death, as though they were perfectly healthy and would have been fine, except for the COVID, which changes and skews the numbers, okay? That makes the numbers look totally different. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with keeping track. We have to keep track of things, but we have to be honest about these numbers, because these numbers are causing our governmental leadership personnel to make decisions that are affecting our lives. And if it looks like there are a lot more deaths directly related to COVID, as opposed to someone on hospice who dies on schedule and they happen to have COVID, now maybe that COVID speeded it up a little bit, but in the example I saw this health official talking about, this person was on hospice with very, very short, you know, a couple of weeks left to live, and they died. And basically, in the testing afterwards, a person had COVID, so they listed it as a COVID death. That's not a COVID death, but it's on that sheet anyway. So that added a number. Now, when you add all these numbers, it looks a lot more frightening. Now, we were saying in the beginning of in March, we were told millions of Americans were going to die. Literally millions. That's horrific. You have to do everything you possibly can to protect millions of people. Now, we were thinking that, you know, I'm in my late 50s, that I would have gotten it and died, okay? We thought my children, who I have kids all the way down into their teenage years, and a grandchild who's an infant baby, that all of us were potentially in that death pool, so to speak. And as we started to find out that, yes, there are some examples of younger people who got COVID-19 and died, but it turns out they had underlying health issues that were really complicated by the COVID, and it caused their death. But it was not in anywhere near the numbers of people over 60. And of those people over 60, they had compromised health systems in their bodies. They had all kinds of other autoimmune diseases. They had age that they couldn't recover from. They were prone to pneumonia. So while this is a very deadly and dangerous virus, and it still is to those people who are susceptible and have those other issues, we also know that many, many thousands, if not millions of people have probably already had it and lived through it and now have antibodies to it. You know, my daughter, I've mentioned her many times. She goes to college in New York City. And probably late January, early February, she got really, really sick with what we thought was the flu, even though she had taken a regular flu shot like we all do every year here at my house. She got really, really sick with a lot of flu-like symptoms. She was having trouble breathing. She was having trouble coughing. And after 2 weeks, it went away. Her boyfriend also got it. You know, they were in close proximity to each other. He got it and suffered with the same kind of conditions, but then it moved on. And a lot of people in the city had these same kind of symptoms December, January, February. Before we knew it, and there's consideration that probably some of that, if not a lot of it, was COVID already working through the population. There's articles out there in the news now, you can look them up, where they're saying they think many, many, many more people were exposed to COVID earlier on, maybe even November. Early as October, November, and December, that it breezed through their system. They didn't suffer those big flu-like conditions. They had a cold for a couple days, and it moved on, depending on the exposure, the number of virus you encounter, etc. So anyway, I want to get back to Attila's gym here in Belmar, New Jersey. Mr. Ian Smith decides he's going to open. He's had enough. People came out to support him. He knew that there was the governor has an order here in New Jersey that you will not open. And he did it in defiance of that. He stood up as a person standing up for his rights, standing up for his liberty, and he had to feed his family. And he made a choice to open his gym. The people who wanted to go there and work out, they made a choice that they were willing to take the risk and go there and work out. All right, I think that's part of individual freedom. Now, would I like any of those people at that gym to come back and give me the virus? No, well, that's why I wear a mask. That's why I think if they should wear a mask, if that's the minimum thing we can do as a society for a little bit longer is wear the mask, that's fine. But open up the world. You know, we're seeing Florida and Georgia that have been open for several weeks now, completely open, no restrictions. Restaurants are open, everything's open, while they may have individual within the restaurant restrictions. They are open. You can go to a restaurant and eat. You can go to a bar and have a drink. They're actually seeing the numbers of people infected going down, even though they're wide open again. So it kind of looks like the virus is taking, it's petering out, so to speak, as most flus do at this time of year, especially in the warmer climates. So will it come back in the fall? It probably will. It's a virus that is probably going to be with us for a while. Will there be a spike once people start getting back together? Yes, I think there will, because you're going to have some people who have it very mildly, and they're going to be around other people now who are going to get it. And those people are going to get sick. But I don't think we're going to see the same outbreak that we saw here in March and April. And that would just be a guess on my part. I'm not a medical guy. I'm just looking at how it's working out in other places. Italy, on June 6th, is opening to tourism again. Italy was devastated, and they're opening back up. The numbers have gone down so much that they feel confident that they can open. I guess the reality is we'll see what we'll see, but we cannot stay locked down like this any longer. A couple of episodes ago here on Chasing Justice, I had mentioned I put out a social media comment back in April. My wife Kathleen and I were talking about it, and we said our Independence Day was going to be May 20th, and then we were going to start going out. We didn't say we were going to go out, go to restaurants, start coughing on people. What we said, we're going to go get an ice cream cone. We're not going to worry about this lockdown. We're going to, if our friends want to come over and have cocktails with us, we'll do it. Good social distancing. Sit around a campfire. We're going to have friends over. We're going to have dinner. We're going to go to their house. We're going to evaluate each situation and decide what the risk is, and then we're going to do it. Well, I got to tell you, the social media response I got at that time was supportive. It was about 50-50 supportive, but the part that wasn't was blistering with people. I wanted to kill people, calling me a killer. What we realized is there are so many people that are absolutely scared to death because of all the news coverage. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, actually advises people to not watch so much news about it because it's detrimental to your mental health. So everyone has to make a decision. And these people are in such a panic. I know people personally who are in a complete abject panic, young, healthy people that will not leave their home because they're afraid they're going to die when there's nothing statistically to show that that's going to happen to them. But this is going to take a while to play out. We're going to have to see people going back, living normal lives, and not seeing a spike of, you know, New Jersey had 10,000 deaths. That's horrific. New York had over 20,000 deaths. That's horrible. Probably the two hardest hit places, New York and New Jersey. We're going to have to see this part of the world come back together and not see that repeat of those deaths before more people will be comfortable. But it is shocking. I mean, people will see you in an area when you don't have to wear your mask. You know, you're not going into a store. You're walking in your neighborhood and people are walking the other way. They cross the street. They're in a panic and they're yelling at you. Where's your mask? Where's your mask? As though, you know, you're going to infect everybody. You're not sick. You've been home for months, right? It's very interesting to see all this. So let's all give a yahoo here for Chasing Justice for Mr. Ian Smith and his Attilus Gym in Belmore, New Jersey. I think he's one of the first part of the wave of people that are going to start opening up. I had reports of people telling me that New York City was very busy this weekend. Lots and lots of people were out. People are pushing the limits now. They've had enough of this. They've been home enough. They've tried enough. And they want to get back. You know, even if it's just for mental health, right? For mental health, people want to get back. They need to get back to the world. Maybe at some point at our own destruction, maybe we see a spike again, and then we have to do something more drastic until we get some kind of a vaccine. I just don't see that in the numbers. We would still be spiking. Recently, New York had a report that said 66% of all new infections of COVID-19 were coming from people who were locked down in their homes. Now, how do you explain that? People are locked down in their homes, not going out, and 66% of the new cases are coming from people in lockdown in their homes. All right, so we can't put a specific finger on this. This Dr. Fauci, you know, there's a lot of information about him that he's a brilliant doctor and he really has his handle on things. And at other times you see he's really connected with pharmaceutical companies that are looking to make vaccines for different things. We can't get a real story. We can't get truth from anybody because this has been politicized. At this point, At this point, the fact that you have red states and blue states acting completely different from each other is just one more schism in our American family that comes back to politics. So this whole thing started out as a health scare. Everybody, pretty much the majority of everybody, I think, jumped in to do the right thing. But slowly and steadily, we're starting to see, okay, we need to move on, and there's political ramifications for your choices. So red states are opening, and they seem to be doing okay. Blue states are staying shut. So where's the political angle in that? Well, who benefits from us staying shut? From saying to us now, which I know some states have now said, you're going to shut down. New York said till June 19th. People are going to stay in until June 19th. Well, what happens when they get to June 17th and they go, you know what? The numbers aren't low enough yet. We're going to go to August 19th. Who benefits from this shutdown? The economy is going to continue to tank. People are going to be longer term out of work. There's going to be a rising tide of people screaming for governmental assistance because people are running out of money. They don't have savings to spend month after month after month not going to work. So you're going to have that rising tide of people screaming for governmental assistance, which is going to empower who? It's going to empower the people on the left who want to give away $2,000 a month per person plus $1,000 a family. Stay home. You know, there's a lot of people. I know specifically a friend of mine who has a business here in New Jersey that's one of the accepted businesses. He's allowed to run in this time. He's considered essential. And he's trying to hire people at, you know, $18 an hour, $16 an hour, not heavy lift stuff, you know, but $16, $17 an hour, that he used to have more than enough people applying for that, for extra money, a lot of retired people, to make it easy for him and make it easy for them. They made some money. It wasn't hard work. He says he cannot get people now to take the jobs because they're telling him, listen, I'm making, you know, with the extra $600 a week in unemployment, my regular unemployment plus $600 extra, I'm making more money staying home. I would rather just stay home and pocket that money. I don't have to work. And that is a real concern as we go forward. So this politicization of this whole thing, who's going to give who the most? Right now, we're in that kind of a place where we can argue about that. You go another couple of months with this when people actually do run out of money, when mortgage companies and rental companies run out of their patience for people not paying or paying on time or making partial payments. And then you're going to see pressure put on politicians to say, hey, at this point, we may have to start ejecting people from their homes. We can't go on. We can't pay for this forever. Or the government will respond and say, no, we're going to pay the rent for all these people, right? We're going to do that now. Now we're going to pay rent. Nancy and her team came up with a $3 trillion expenditure package. $3 trillion more dollars that we don't have. Now my great-great-grandchildren are going to be owing $50,000, $60,000 per person before they're even born, 100 years before they're born. We really have to start thinking about this closer. And we have to look at what's the right thing to do, not the emotional thing to do. And when I look at Ian Smith and Attilus Jim from Belmar, I say, hey, here's a guy's got an idea. He's taking a chance. He's pushing out. And I support him. And I support anybody else who wants to go out in the world and get back to work. If you're afraid, stay home. Don't see anybody. Live on what you got or what you can get. But the rest of us, I think we need to get out. I think the time has arrived. And I want all of you to think about this closely. So thank you. This is the first part of our time together today. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Ding, ding, ding. Round two, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I am very, very happy to be here with you this afternoon and every weekday at 3 p.m. So listen, I've had a bunch of articles on the platform at AmericaOutLoud.com that I think you really might enjoy, okay? If you go there, recently I was talking to some young people, and I like to get their opinion because they are the future. And I like to run things past them and get their feedback and kind of understand where they're coming from and different than my age group. You know, so I talk to my son Jack a lot. We've had his friends on here on the show. They call themselves the fam. You know, they're a family of these young fellas, and they're all brilliant, they're all smart, and they're, for the most part, they're a pretty conservative group of kids for 16 and 17 years old. And they come on and give an opinion. Well, that's important because in 2 years, these young men are going to get to vote, and they're going to be part of a huge voting block as time goes forward. And eventually they are going to take over from you and me. We also have my daughter who's in college. I've mentioned her many times. She's in that age group where she'll be 21 this summer, and she'll be, you know, of majority age, and she'll be out there doing whatever young people do. But her opinion is reflective of her generation in some ways, and in some ways it's split. But I enjoy talking to them because they have interesting points, whether I agree or disagree with them in general. So I was talking to some of these young people, and this article was about these younger people and how they see the future, how they see us politically, where they see us going. And I think you'll really find it interesting. So it's up on the platform now at AmericaOutLoud.com. Go check it out. Lieutenant Joe. You can find it under a couple of different headings there. All right. What's going on now? One of the things that I think we're all getting excited about is that as the slow drip, drip, drip of information starts to come out from Attorney General Bob Barr's office, that the investigation is heating up. The truth is close to coming out. We're getting little bits and pieces. We've had the release of the interviews from Mr. Schiff, you know, the guy who lies to all of us, who used the Congress to lie to each and every American, whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, he lied to all of us. So, you know, in social media, I find it's an interesting way to gauge people's opinions. I think it is anecdotal because you're only getting to those people that you reach out to, that you're friended by or followed by, and you followed them, whatever. It's not everybody. So it's a limited pool of people. And if you are like-minded people, then you're probably going to be all in the same kind of a vein. But you go out there and, you know, I ask this question because I know a lot of people I know that are on the left listen to this show. And they're even-minded people. They're trying to understand. They're trying to learn. And I've learned things from them. So I appreciate that they're out there. But one of the tweets I put out there was, listen, how do you feel that you've been lied to, that now you know the truth, that this everything that the media and everybody tried to tell you was a lie, that Trump was not spied on, that the Democrats were not trying to cheat, and everything else that he's been trying to tell you for the past 3 years, this whole Mueller investigation was a hoax, there was no collusion. Now that it's been proved that not only was there no collusion, but it was a great big conspiracy. Now, I've talked about it here how many times on Chasing Justice. This is the biggest conspiracy we have seen, definitely in our lifetimes. But probably in our country's history. This is the first real bloodless coup d'etat that was run by one political party and the party in power at the time to disrupt or remove a duly elected candidate from a different party from taking over. And of course, I'm talking about when Donald Trump was elected. We all know the routine now of what happened here. But it's been proven that there was spying. It's been proven that all these people that marched in front of the TV cameras and said, you know, the Steele dossier had nothing to do with the FISA warrants. Well, it turns out that was the mainstay of those. And we know that they knew they were fake and unverified and untrue, that they were just made up campaign nonsense by Hillary Clinton. And that was used as the basis for those warrants. You know, one of the most important rights we have is our right to privacy. And the Fourth Amendment, you know, I dealt with it as many law enforcement people do. The Fourth Amendment, you have to get a judge, an un, an unbiased, uninterested third party to listen to your case to determine if there's evidence somewhere as law enforcement, and that judge will give you a warrant then, which then lets you go get that evidence, whether that's physical evidence, documents, papers, drugs, money, whatever, or go get the person and bring them in and make them give you a blood sample or whatever it is. You need a search warrant. Very, very serious. This is what prevents the government from just coming to your house, kicking in the door and doing whatever the heck they want to you. Right? So this is hugely important to each and every one of us, whether you're on the left or on the right. All of this was violated by the previous administration, by the Obama administration. It is very clear that that is exactly what happened, and that's what's coming out every single day. The fact that all those interviews that Schiff and his committee did, that I'm sure he assured every one of them, this will never come out. Nobody's ever going to hear your testimony. Because every one of these big mouths that was on all these TV shows saying there's absolute proof that Trump colluded with the Russians, absolute proof, it's going to come out, it's going to be unbelievable. Every one of them, while they were testifying, said, I know of no specific evidence. Under oath, they said that. Because under oath, you lie, you go to jail. But out on TV, they could just run their mouths. And have we seen any news stories about how they bamboozled all these people, all these media stations, going, boy, for 3 years we put out this nonsense. For 3 years we told these lies that these people told us. Now we find out that they were lying. Where's the reverse stories? Calling all these people back in and going, didn't you lie to us? Let's look at the tape. Let's look at this tape. And you said that, and behind the scenes, under oath, you said there really was nothing. How come we're not seeing that? Where is the media outrage that they were put on for 3 years? Well, analysis of a clear-thinking person, I like to think I am, is that, well, the only reason you wouldn't be outraged, well, two reasons, I'll give you two reasons, that you wouldn't be outraged and talk about your outrage is because, one, you'd be totally embarrassed that you went along with this, not for a week or two stories or 100 stories, but for 3 years you went along with this. And you're totally embarrassed. So you know what? You let the truth slide out and you're just going to move right along like it didn't happen. Or number two, you were part of it. You knew all along, and you were part of it. And unfortunately, I think that's what we're seeing right before our eyes every single day now. That the spinmeisters on the left are now spinning the truth into lies, trying to make it into lies. Now they're saying Bob Barr is basically lying. He's a puppet of Trump, and he's just making this stuff up, and he's twisting everything. Instead of just looking at the evidence, at the facts, the things that are right in front of their face, they're going to twist the truth into a lie now. And this is going to go on for a while. So this isn't going to end because we are at such a crossroad. We are at such a crossroad in our country. You know, I've written about crossroads for a long time because I saw it coming. You know, how we view our traditional beliefs in America, the things that we cherish, that we now see the Constitution it's a joke to many of them. We saw the governor here in New Jersey when he was asked on Tucker Carlson's TV show, did you think about the Bill of Rights when you were doing all of this? And he said, actually, Tucker, it didn't come to mind. The Bill of Rights didn't come to mind when he was deciding to violate the rights of every New Jerseyan, even if he thought at the beginning that was his duty to protect everyone. Okay, I get it. He thought that was his duty, and that's what he did. But to just say, no, I didn't even think of the Bill of Rights, isn't that his first job? You know, I've taken a lot of oaths. You raise your hand, you put your hand in a Bible, and you swear to protect the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of your own state. And that means to protect the rights of those people. Because without our rights being protected, we fall back to the default position of humanity, which is to live under tyranny, which is what we're seeing right in front of our eyes. You're seeing these left-wing governors in the face of what the people are demanding, in the face of the scientific reality, saying, no, I'm going to close down even tighter. In Los Angeles, they're telling businesses that open, we're going to cut off your water and your gas supply because you're going to do it because we said to do it. Is this not a preview of what they would do if they had more power? How they would run your life? I mean, even if my friend's out on the left over there, don't you see what they would do? And right now you think it's a good thing because it suits what you want. But that's not how tyranny works. See, tyranny might be okay when it does a couple of things you like, but eventually it's going to turn on you. You see, and that's what you don't realize. Look at history. That's why all of us on the right say, well, socialism really never has worked. And then, of course, you get, well, what about Sweden? What about Sweden? What about Finland? It works for them over there. These are inane responses to a thing like that. You have to look and see what's the population of those countries. What kind of socialism are they running? What is the cost to those people? Is it a homogeneous population that they all just agree on the same things? It has nothing to do with the United States of America or other countries where they've tried socialism, which eventually leads to communism, because power seeks power. So at first, it's just the government running all the businesses and then making policies. And then when people decide to revolt, like Mr. Smith wants to open his gym in New Jersey, then you get the secret goon squad shows up at night and Mr. Smith disappears. See, that's where it leads. Oh, you're going on and on. Pick up a book and look at some history and see how tyranny works over and over and over again, because that is the nature of tyranny. We have to go by the nature of things. What is its nature? Okay? Reminds me of a great line in a movie, right? Dr. Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, when he was, because he's absolutely right about a lot of things. They must have had a good psychologist working with the scriptwriter. When he says, you have to look at what is the nature of a thing, and that will tell you what to expect and how it will react and how you should respond. Well, that's exactly this. You have to understand what tyranny is. What is the nature of tyranny? And when it's on your side and it goes and you use the power of this tyranny, this government power now that comes in and says, everybody better wear a mask, we're going to take you to jail. At the same time, they're letting convicted criminals out of jail. If you don't see that as a stark warning, I don't know what else to say to you. I don't even know how to have a conversation with somebody who can't see that. You get somebody who wants to open their barber shop and they're going to drag a 78-year-old guy off to jail and put him in jail to teach him a lesson, but then they're going to let rapists and murderers out of jail to make room so that they don't get sick with coronavirus. What about the 78-year-old guy? You're dragging him into the jail where you're afraid there's coronavirus. What are we doing here? What are we allowing? You see, and this is what I am afraid of. And for my friends on the left, I know you see it as any bit you give in, you're going to lose. So therefore, you're going to ignore all the evidence of what happened with President Trump. You're going to ignore all that because it doesn't suit your need. You're going to want the government to go out and shut these people down and drag them off the street if they don't wear their mask because you're scared to death. But eventually, they drag you away for doing something that they want you to do, that you disagree with. That is what's scary. And my friends on the left, it's not about winning or losing. You don't like the big orange man. You don't like what he says. There's bigger things at stake here than just whether or not you like President Trump. This is dangerous for all of our futures, for your children and your grandchildren. Because once you give this up, you don't get it back that easily. You know, there's a saying I love on social media. It says, you can vote in socialism, but you got to shoot your way out of it. Think about it. Think about every time you've seen that happen. They line people up and they kill them. Right? In Venezuela, they're shooting people down. Right? That's a modern social disaster. Socialist disaster right in front of our eyes. It's a model of the future in our hemisphere. So where does that lead me to? It leads me to General Flynn, another part of this great big criminal conspiracy. General Flynn was bullied into pleading guilty. He was tricked, didn't have a lawyer representing him when he had a criminal interview with the FBI. James Comey even said he did things, no, he could never have done any other time, but these people didn't understand, so he sent agents in there. And what did they say in those notes? We've talked about it. Handwritten notes by the FBI agent. What's our purpose in this interview? To get him to lie so we can get him fired, or to get him to lie so we can charge him and lock him up? What do you think when they call you down? Okay, there's some question about anything in your life that involves the federal government or the local police. Yeah, you don't need a lawyer. We just want to talk to you. And really, they're writing notes on the side of that paper. Says, what do we do to get her to lie? Do we get her to lie so we can charge her, so we can lock her up and take her away? What do we do? Do you realize the corruption that is, the danger that is to you? And that just happened. That just happened to all of these people. And now we have Judge Emmett Sullivan, right, sitting on the federal bench there. And the prosecution, the government, realizes, uh-oh, we really screwed up bad. We railroaded the general. The investigators lied. The investigators did the wrong things. They did a totally inappropriate investigation and prosecution. They violated the general's rights. The best thing for us to do here is to cut our losses, dismiss these charges, and let the general move on with his life. And what's Judge Emmett Smith do? Emmett Sullivan. He says, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think either way I'm going to do that. Because the prosecution agrees, the defense agrees, drop the charges. But the judge is now becoming an advocate. The judge's position is to be an umpire, not an activist. He doesn't like the fact that General Flynn's going to get away. And there's a lot of indications that Judge Emmett Sullivan might be a partisan liberal Democrat. And he just doesn't like that the big orange man is going to get away with getting his general off. So therefore, he says, I want amicus briefs, an amicus, you know, amicus friend of the court, briefs from other judges, other people who, is this right that we drop these charges? Is it right that we drop these charges? The prosecution said they can't do a case. It's not right. And the judge is saying, well, I want these far left-wing judges to step in here and take a look and see if this is right or wrong, instead of just dropping the charges. That is a danger. Now you have the system working against a citizen, General Flynn, working against him and his interests when the government says they were wrong, step away, and the judge won't allow it to happen. Even though the Supreme Court of the United States ruled only a few weeks ago that amicus briefs in criminal cases like this are totally inappropriate. They voted 9-0. Even all the liberals voted with the conservatives on the court 9-0 that says you can't use amicus briefs in a thing like this. And he's going to do it anyway. What does that say? Now, I know there's some congressmen who are now talking about impeaching the good judge for the good of the country, for the good of everyone, because obviously he's run away with power. Again, you see, a person on the left with too much power is acting tyrannical. It happens over and over and over again. Now, I'm not saying that people on the right wouldn't be tyrannical, too, if they had that kind of power. Just in this particular time in our lives, we're not seeing that happen. Conservatives are not out to tell you what to do, jam things down your throat. They're about open lives, free business, cut your taxes. That's why I like them. They don't want to control my life. They don't want to control my children's life. They want us to have all the opportunity we can muster and then go out and take our best shot at being successful. That is what we're supposed to be about. That is what America's about. And right now, we're not seeing that from our friends on the left. We're seeing something completely opposite to that. We need to wake up and look around, and your voice should be heard. And there's no better place for your voice to be heard than right here on America Out Loud, the greatest talk radio station that I know of. And I listen to it all the time, and I'm very happy and proud to be on it. So we'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice, the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, come inside. Lieutenant Joe here with Chasing Justice and a little wordplay there from Emerson, Lake and Palmer back in the day. I have more rant. You know, I have my pages of outrages here because there's a lot going on that we do need to keep an eye on. And one of the things is that we're all caught up in this, in the pandemic. We're caught up in the politics of what's going on. Everybody's taking sides. We're worrying about our livelihood, money, jobs. There's so much to pay attention to. Things can slip by. You know, I pay attention to what's in front of me at the moment. I got my eye looking down the corner, looking at that way, trying to figure out where do me and my family need to be? What do I need to be concerned with? But sometimes it's hard. There's so much coming at us. One of the things we kind of see happening that I was afraid of with Attorney General Bob Barr. I said all along, go back to the podcast, which you can get Chasing Justice on podcast in just about all your favorite podcasting places, and you can listen to all our episodes. I was afraid that Bob Barr was going to come in, he's going to do his investigation, and he would name some people. These people did some bad things, but, you know, we're not going to go after them criminally. We'll just name them as bad people. We'll say something happened, and that would be it. And that was my concern. And I voiced that all along. In recent months, though, we've seen a lot stronger reaction from Attorney General Bob Barr and Durham, his investigator, who's out there apparently conducting criminal investigations. That's great. That's really what we want, right? People have to be held to account. If they did it, they should be held to account. If they didn't do it, a trial will prove that they didn't do it. There'll be evidence. And that's all we can ask for, is a fair showing of what's going on here. We have to look at evidence. We can't look at feeling. Well, I saw an announcement come out the other day from Attorney General Barr, which really gave me pause, renewed my concern for what's going to happen here. You know, for a while, they're building us up. They're leaking things out. We're getting all this information. It's looking like they're going to go after these people. And then all of a sudden, we hear Bob Barr says he does not expect the Durham investigation into the coup d'etat against President Trump to result in investigations, criminal or otherwise, of President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. He does not expect that to happen. And that was my first signal in a long time that I said, uh-oh, I have a feeling we're going to get a couple of people with some low-level people in the FBI are going to get picked off. You know, the guys who've ferried the BS search warrants or FISA warrants back and forth, they're going to get them. But they're not going to get McCabe or Clapper or Comey or Strzok or Payton. They're not going to get any of those people, right? And there's only a couple reasons. Number one, Attorney General Bob Barr understands that if you start picking off these high-ranking people, then that's going to become the new game in town. That the next administration, when it's a different party, is going to go after high-ranking officials. And he doesn't want to see that happen. Because the Attorney General is a high-ranking official. Okay? Number two, he is a little swampy. Okay, he's an Avenger right now, but he comes from the swamp. He's an established Washington bureaucrat guy, and a lot of these people are his friends. And he doesn't want to see high-ranking people like that get caught up in the final criminal aspect of things like that. Number three, he honestly believes in his heart that if you go after the president, you will damage the presidency for all time. And now every president will be facing something like what Trump is going through now by every opposite administration, criminal accusations, charges, and that will damage the country in the long run. Those are the three things I'm thinking of that might be the reason why he wouldn't do it. But for him to come out and say, he's signaling, just like he signaled, you know, big things are coming, and then he leaked out some important stuff that was damaging about the warrants and all that. When he comes out and says he does not expect this investigation to lead to Obama and Biden, which is confounding because as we're starting to see the evidence come out, it's looking more and more obvious that this was a plot hatched at the very top, that President Obama figured Hillary was going to win. He was going to do everything he could to help her win, to continue his policies and legacy and continue the left's march forward. And he was going to do everything he could. And if that included allowing these agencies to spy, to do, because you know what? Remember, never forget Lieutenant Joe's caveat here. This whole thing comes down to they never thought they would lose. And if they won, which they totally expected to win, they would bury all this. You would never know anything about it. We would not be talking about it. We'd probably be talking about Hillary's third tax rate hike in 3 years, one every single year, so that she could raise more money to do more ridiculous left-wing nonsense. And then she'd be fighting the COVID, you know, because she'd be doing it perfectly, because everybody on the left would do it perfectly. You know, they put people in nursing homes where it was the most ravaged things. You know, they do all the perfect things on the left. You know, I don't know why I don't see that all the time, but these are the only reasons I could think the Attorney General would say, the two main players at the top of this pyramid who had to authorize this. You think these people just went out and did this on their own and didn't tell the president? How many times do we see these emails between Strzok and Page and all these other people saying the White House wants to keep be briefed and wants to know everything that's going on? All right? How does that happen? How do they know everything that goes on and they don't say, hey, wait a minute, stop. Don't do that. No, they never said stop. They never said stopped. They let it go. They let it continue. They are just as guilty in this conspiracy as anyone else. Now, that has to be proven. But just by the evidence, face value evidence we have right here, you have to include them in the investigation. So that does open a can of worms. Because I could see Biden getting caught up in it. Because he's the vice president and now he's a private citizen. Going after Obama, even though it might be the right thing to do, I'd have to give it some thought. Because you start attacking a former president, then they can go back and attack any former president. And you know, we've seen how they can manufacture things, how they can make things up. And the press, if it's the right side, will go right along with it, and you can railroad people out of existence. You know, right now we see the open borders crowd. In Nancy's $3 trillion bill, one of the things in there is there'll absolutely be no ICE enforcement as long as there's a coronavirus panic going on or emergency. Well, how long do you think that's going to go on for then? If you can't do anything with ICE, you can't remove illegal aliens from here, you can't enforce any of our immigration laws, I would bet COVID-19 would go on forever and ever and ever. Because you know what? There's always going to be a COVID-19. There's still bubonic plague out in the world. You know how many hundreds of years later? You know they use bubonic plague to actually do Botox? That's where they get it from, that same germ. Did you know that? Because it relaxes the nerves and you don't get lines and wrinkles. Just a little PSA from Lieutenant Joe here. But the point is that that disease is still around. Well, COVID-19 is going to be with us probably forever in some form or another. So if you put you can't enforce this, and that's in the law, in Nancy's bill, well, then you can't enforce any immigration status type of crimes or take actions. So basically what's that? That lets the country flood with illegal aliens who, in the bill, they want to have a path to citizenship for everybody. Now, strike that. I can't say that for sure. This is something I heard on another program, and I won't say that I know that for sure. But you know that's what they're pushing for. Why? Now they want to have everybody vote, because illegals get to vote in some California towns, because they live there. They have a right to say about where they live, even though they shouldn't be there. You don't think it's going to be long that if they were to say, okay, we'll let everybody stay, but you don't get to vote in our elections. You can have a green card. You can work here indefinitely. You're not a citizen, but you are here and you're covered by your constitution or whatever. How long do you think it would be till somebody would say, well, it's not fair. People are paying taxes. People are living here. They should get to vote, right? And once you change that voting number, because every election, it's what, 55, 60 million people vote for one party and 55 or 60 million vote for the other. You're about 5 million votes apart of the popular vote, which can swing lots of states, all right? How many thousands of votes swung the big swing states in the middle that sent the election to Trump? If you can flood those states with people who vote consistently Democrat, then you will have a one-party system and one party in power for the rest of our existence. There will be no two parties. And what do they call that? Let me think. There's a name for that. When only one party controls everything. There's a name. Let's think. Let's all think together. I think it begins with a T. Tyranny. Yeah, I think they call that a tyranny. Right? See how these things all connect together? They're random thoughts, but there's bigger pictures behind things. And that's what we need to think about. We need to consider these things as we're going forward. So the Attorney General says, I don't expect that to happen. Which means he's telling us, no, we're not going after Obama, and we're not going to go after Biden, who's running for president. We're just not going to do it. Although, the other side went after Trump criminally. Nancy Pelosi and her people went after Trump with an impeachment that they knew was fake. See, that's the part I want my friends on the left to understand. They weren't pursuing what they thought the big orange man did bad, and they were going to hold him to account. This was faked up. They made this up. And they attacked him anyway. What do you think they would do to you if they didn't like something you did? Don't you get that? You know, having the big bad government go out and punch everybody in the face because you believe in that is great. Until they show up at your door. Do you see the connection, people? You got to get beyond your hatred of the big bad man, big bad orange man, and start thinking about your own self-interest and the interest of your family and the interest of the future of this country. Because if freedom and liberty goes away, you know what you have left, and it ain't going to be pretty. So along those lines, some of the things that we've kind of forgotten in all this pandemic talk, and we have this politics raging every day, and terrorism in the United States. We were under a lot of threat before COVID. We were thinking about it all the time. School shootings, right? We were worried about school shootings. My business is about how to help people protect themselves from workplace violence and school shootings. And everything shut down. Nobody goes to work. Nobody goes to school. And suddenly there are no numbers. Nothing's happening. So that's a good thing. So it goes to the back page. And it is a good thing. We don't want people getting hurt. I would rather get into a different business than to see one more school shooting. And I mean that absolutely honestly. But the reality is, we know when everybody gets back together, this stuff's going to kick up again. Well, in December of 2019, we had a mass shooting on a Navy base in Pensacola, Florida. And a man killed three sailors before he was stopped, put it that way. And it turns out that recently, very recently, the FBI has had the ability to look into his cell phone. Now, his phone was an Apple phone. Right? Apple phones are great. I have an Apple phone. I've had the other one. You know, I like them all. But the Apple phone is what this guy had. The killers, the terrorists who killed people in California, the husband and wife team, had Apple phones also. And of course, everything we do now is on our phone. That's one of the things we, all of us, think of. You have emails on your phone. You have text messages on your phone. Your phone is basically a computer with a phone app in it. Your notes are in there. Your files are in there. Your pictures are in there. Everything about us is in our phones. So in the world of law enforcement, when you look at that, that is a huge piece of evidence that you need to get your hands on. And how do you do that? Well, you seize it in the investigation, and then you get a search warrant. That's right. You go to a judge and say, "Judge, here's why I think there'll be information in this person's phone that we need to prove a crime is afoot or has happened or there's evidence of it," right? Judge gives you a search warrant. In you go and you see what's in there. And a lot of times we find the incriminating information that we're looking for. We find connections. We find other co-conspirators. We find messages, documents, emails that prove someone's guilt or innocence in any given situation. Well, in the case of the shooter in Pensacola, they went to Apple and they asked Apple to please help them by downloading the phone, getting the information out of the phone. And Apple declined. They would not do it. Just like they did back in California when they asked them to do it. No, we're not going to do it. Which I think is, I'm not really sure how I feel about that 100%. I mean, I understand they're trying to protect everyone's privacy, and they don't want to give the government the key into their piece of equipment. How do they get in? What programs do they have to protect that privacy, encrypt everything so people can't just get into it? But on the other hand, here you have a terrorist who may have been linked to other terrorists who would kill people in other parts of the United States of America, kill innocent people. Maybe go attack a school. Maybe go attack the subways. Maybe go attack an airport. Someplace when you're sitting there getting ready to go to the sunny Florida and attack and kill you and your family. And they would not go into this phone and get the information. Well, the FBI found a way in, which I think is a breakthrough. And again, I'm in light of current things that are going on, I'm a little concerned and I'm also happy. Now, I have said all along that the FBI, the rank and file FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the men and women in the FBI are good, decent American law enforcement people that only want to do the right things. The horrors we saw in the Trump coup d'etat was because the FBI was corrupted at the leadership. And the people at the top did some very, very bad things. I reflect that onto this story. Apple refuses to give away into the phone so that we can see what other terrorist connections there are. Now, why would they do that? Why would they have an interest in protecting? I can understand protecting everyone's privacy. I want my privacy protected. But at the same time, if a judge gives you a warrant and says, "Here, open up this phone," and you say, "Nah, not going to do it because I'm protecting." Why? Why would you protect terrorists' information? That I don't understand. I don't think we've had a good enough response from any of these electronics companies that hold data that refuse to assist when they're told that they need it for public safety. that's a whole nother story. But when I look at this and I say the FBI is made up of mostly a huge majority, almost all very, very good men and women who only do the right thing, believe in the Constitution, and want to protect everybody. I mean, that's what cops do, no matter what agency you work for. They found a way into this phone without Apple's help. They figured it out, all right? Which is a good thing in the case of this terrorist, because we find out he had a lot of contacts with Al-Qaeda. We find out that he was going around taking pictures of things. See, this is all good for future investigations when we're trying to see things, you know, say things. You start to see the pattern of how these people do what they do before they attack us. Now we have more tools to try and figure out when we get a report of something suspicious. What was the person doing? They were taking pictures. We know they case places. They're looking, how's going to be the response? How can I get in? How can I get out? Where can I do the most damage? We know that's what they do. So in this case, the FBI got into the phone, which is a great thing in this case. What makes me nervous is just seeing what James Comey and all those bad people at the top did. Now they can get into your phone. So we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place here, aren't we? Wouldn't it be great if we could just count on all those people in positions of authority to do the right thing every time? That we could count on, hey, if they're going to look at my phone, they're going to have to do it with a warrant. And we all know that's the game. And that's fair. That's fair for everybody. But we don't know that. And that's one of the dangers. And that's what put us on this crossroad here in America. We're in this crossroad of going one way or going another. And every one of us has to choose. There's a million different things we have to choose. We are torn in two different ways in our country today. And we need to find a way to come back together and at least be going in the same direction, even if we have different ways to get there. So I want to thank you for being here. This has been a fun episode. I love speaking to everybody. You can catch me if you want to reach out to me on Twitter. It's at Pangaro Global. I'd love to hear from everybody. Until then, we'll see you next time. And remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro signing off for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.